Heavenly Father, we delight to come before you tonight. We thank you for your word that brings to light your truth, Lord, and we pray for help by your Holy Spirit. You are a gracious God, Lord, and we thank you for this time. Bless us now, in Jesus' name, amen. So if you want to, we'll be going ahead and turning to Luke 7. We'll be starting in verse 36, so if you want to open your Bibles to Luke 7, we'll be kind of going through the text, so it will be helpful for you to have your Bible as we go along. So Luke 7, verse 36, and so we'll go ahead and start reading. Verse 36, then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him. For she is a sinner. Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There is a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who forgave more. And Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. Then Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this that even forgives sins? Then Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And so as we begin with our text tonight, we see we're going to start off with a Pharisee who later in the text we'll find out his name is Simon. Simon the Pharisee. And so we see here that Simon the Pharisee, as Jesus is ministering near his home, asks Jesus to come eat with him, to come eat dinner with him. And we see Simon as a Pharisee, as most of you know, would be a wealthy man who has religious power and who is well educated. He would have been very esteemed in that city or in that culture. He would have been one that people looked up to, and it would be common for these Pharisees, when an important guest would come through, they would invite these guests over to their house and have discussions with them, and even have the doors open that people could come around and listen to these important discussions. And so that's where we see here where this Simon the Pharisee has invited this important person that people are hearing lots about Jesus over to his house. By now, Jesus has created a big stir in the city and out in the region because he's been doing amazing, supernatural works. Healing the deaf, the blind. He's been casting out demons. People would hear that he's calmed a storm or walked on water. So his popularity is growing. And so Simon the Pharisee is going to go ahead and invite Jesus over to his house to have a discussion and have dinner. And Jesus would also, as he's well known, has agreed to go over to Simon's house. And the context here is this would not be a normal dinner party. If we go back just one chapter, we learn that in chapter 6, verse 7, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were actively plotting to try and find something to accuse Jesus with. Verse 7, it says that the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely, that they might find an accusation against Jesus. And so when we think about a normal dinner party, this one would be something a bit more intense. I'd almost think about it as like diplomats going to a dinner party, one from Ukraine and one from Russia. That would be the tensity of this dinner party. The Pharisees, their kingdom is against Jesus' kingdom. There, Jesus is a threat to them. And so as Simon comes, you could imagine how dramatic it would be as Simon the Pharisee invites Jesus over to his house and the weightiness this would be. And we don't know Simon's motive at this time. Maybe it's a good motive. Maybe Simon has seen all those supernatural works, all that teaching with authority that Jesus has. And Simon is confused. And if Simon were to start to agree with Jesus, there would be much risk for him. Because he would have the possibility of losing his position or his job and even be called a traitor amongst all the other Pharisees. And so as we see, Simon is setting up this dinner party and inviting Jesus over. And later we'll kind of see what his motive is. And then we look at Jesus. What is Jesus doing? Jesus knows that they're plotting against him. But Jesus, we know his mission. He has come to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19:10. Jesus is on an evangelistic mission. He's like a Navy SEAL going into enemy territory to accomplish his goal, to seek and to save the lost. And so you could imagine, as all of Simon's well-to-do, well-dressed friends are at this dinner party, Jesus is there also. And this is the setting that we're in. And Jesus is reclining there. But then our next verse continues. We see at verse 37, if everybody could look at verse 37, and we see, and behold, this is the same two words that the angels would announce the great news. What does behold mean? This is something that is shocking and startling. So we have this tense setting of this dinner party with Jesus and all the Pharisees, and all of a sudden, something shocking and startling happens. Something so much that everybody would gasp and go, what is that? All of your heads would turn. And what is that? Our text says, and behold, a woman. Women can do this, right? Startle us. Just kidding. But we see that it continues to tell us, why is this so startling? Why is this so shocking? Why do we have to behold? And it says, a woman of the city who was a sinner. This title is reserved for the most despised people in the society. This woman would be one that we would probably not associate with. And this woman, as high as Simon the Pharisee is revered and looked up to, and as esteemed as he would be, and with his power and influence, this woman would be on the opposite end of the spectrum. She would be one looked down upon. She'd be worse than a deaf person or a blind person, even worse than maybe someone with leprosy, or even demon-possessed. She would be one that would be an immoral, impure person who lived an outwardly sinful life. Of course, she was most likely a prostitute. And so you could imagine, as she comes in, she would look nothing like everybody there. She'd have different clothes, different hair, different makeup. Her perfume would be strong in her line of work. And she would definitely not fit in. And so right away, everybody would be uncomfortable as she walked in that open door. She would never normally come close to this house. And so we see here that our verse continues and it tells us, why is she there? Why would this woman come to Simon the Pharisee's house? And it's because someone else was at that dinner party. She had broken through that embarrassment, that social boundaries, and took so much risk. Why? She was there because someone else didn't fit in, and that was Jesus. She was there to meet with Jesus, and she had brought an expensive perfume and an alabaster flask. And as the dinner party comes, she stands behind Jesus. And as she's standing there, our text tells us, verse 38, she stood there behind his feet, weeping. She's overcome with emotion and begins to weep so much. Her tears drench Jesus' feet. And as she looks upon Jesus' feet, she notices how dirty they are. And she begins to wash his feet with her hair. This is the lowliest job to wash feet, but not only that, she's using her hair to wash Jesus' feet. And then she proceeds to kiss his feet and then anoint them with oil. And we don't know why at this moment she is so overcome with such emotion. But we get to go back to Simon in our text. And now, verse 39, it says, when Simon, who had invited Jesus, saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, so we could see here, Simon's having this nice dinner party, right? He likes things to go well, nothing to be any big hiccups. And already he's startled by this woman there. But then with this scene behind Jesus, how would he react, right? How would we react if we were the dinner host and this weeping and sobbing is going on, right? Of course, we wouldn't react with the most gracious response. And we see Simon's heart here revealed to us. And so we see Simon says within himself, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him. For she is a sinner. And so right here, no one else in that dinner party, except for one other person, knows what Simon is thinking. But we get to see right into Simon's very thoughts. And what do we see? We see, just like all the region around him, Simon is wrestling with who Jesus is. Like I mentioned earlier, Jesus' ministry has become very, very well known. The weight of evidence of who Jesus is continuing to grow and grow. His miracles of healing the blind, the sick. Just a little earlier, he raised a man from the dead. And this supernatural work was steering in Simon's heart. Was causing Simon to wonder And Simon is trying to figure out, who is this man? Who is this man? And so we see that as Simon is wrestling, though, we hit something almost as startling as the sinful woman, almost as shocking. And it's revealed as what he says, and that's going to be the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief and how it deceives Simon. Simon, instead of trusting Jesus and his words, he turns back to trusting him, his own self. And what does Simon know? He knows that there is no way he would ever associate with that woman, that sinful woman. And there's no way he would be kind or show love to her. And so thus, there is no way God would ever allow that woman to touch him. And so Simon, in his darkness, in the unbelief, he jumps to what he knows and what he trusts, which is calling Jesus a fraud, calling Jesus a liar, saying that no way could this be a prophet of God. No way would God himself ever love a woman like this. And so, as Simon is thinking these thoughts in his head, as he enters the darkness of his unbelief in a deep pit and concludes that he knows better, this Jesus, this man, is not who he says he is, Jesus answers Simon's thoughts. Jesus immediately, as he concludes that thought that Jesus is a fraud, Jesus says, Simon. And you could imagine Simon as he's thinking in his head, he's caught off guard, right? He might have blushed. And Jesus says, Simon, I have something to say. Jesus hasn't spoken all night, and he immediately addresses Simon in that dark pit of his unbelief, as he concludes what his heart would allow him to conclude. And he says, Teacher, say it. And the amazing part is Simon, he is surrounded by all his friends. He's surrounded by his wealth. He's surrounded by his knowledge of the Old Testament. He is so proud and secure where he is. And so Jesus comes in to speak to Simon. He can't just tell Simon, Simon, you don't love me. No, what does he do? He comes to Simon where he's at, and he gives Simon a parable. He tries to help Simon understand where he is. And so that's where Jesus then amazingly gives him this perfect parable for Simon. Verse 41. There was a certain creditor. This is like a banker or a money loaner, kids. This is someone who loans money and expects it to be paid back. And if they can't pay it back, the debtors, they would be thrown in prison. But a certain creditor had two debtors. The debtors are the one who borrows the money, kids, and has to pay it back. One owed 500 denarii, so a huge amount. That's what you want to remember, kids. And the other owed 50, a small amount. And this is the most important part. When they had nothing with which to repay, these debtors, in this parable, were desperate. They could not pay back this debt. They were hopeless. What happened? They were freely forgiven. He freely forgave them both. And this is where Jesus then puts it upon Simon. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And Simon responds and says, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And so we see that Simon responds correctly, and he understands the parable, what Jesus is talking about. And what then Jesus does is he comes in, and this is the part where he takes that parable and then he illustrates it for Simon to him, to his heart. The parable is simple. We all pretty much get it right away. Those who are forgiven much love much. But those who love little are forgiven little. Sorry, love little. And Simon understands that pretty simple. So kids, who loved more? The one who was forgiven the large amount or the one who was forgiven the little amount? And of course, it's the one who was forgiven that large amount. How grateful that burden they were freed from. They were saved from that burden. And so we see that Jesus then, looking at the woman, addresses Simon and brings his sin to light. And he says, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But for whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And so Jesus, speaking to Simon, again addresses Simon's heart. From the beginning of the night, Jesus could know Simon's thoughts. Jesus could perceive how, as he walked in the door, all the rest of them, his friends, had their feet washed. All the rest of them would have their oil received a kiss and their heads anointed. But Jesus, not Jesus, he was not shown the same favor, the same love. And so we see here that Simon had revealed by his outward actions what was going on inside. And Jesus can see that. And so what was Jesus getting at with Simon? Jesus was addressing the love. Simon couldn't see who Jesus was, and thus he would not love Jesus. And that is what Simon labors to show. That is what Jesus labors to show Simon in that parable. You are a man who has not been forgiven. You are a man who has rejected me, and you do not love me. And thus, you do not love me. And so, we see, as we look at this parable, Jesus shows us how we respond to him. It is an example of what we go after in this life. And so, what was wrong with Simon? Simon had two problems. We mentioned the first one, which is that unbelief that led to the harsh thoughts about Jesus. He would not believe who Jesus was, and thus he was not forgiven and did not love Jesus. And so this is what Jesus was able to use the woman to illustrate. This woman, why did she do this? Why did she enter Simon's house? It's because she had heard the call. She had heard Jesus preach the gospel that would say, come, come, I will forgive you of your burden. I will take away your sins. Come, and you will be freed from all that you labor for. Come, and I will be the one to save your soul and wipe your sins clean. And this woman had responded to the gospel. And because of that response to the gospel, she was forgiven. And now she enters Simon's house to worship Jesus. And we see such boldness, such love and adoration for Jesus that she would go through such lengths. And we don't know what caused her to weep. Maybe it was his dirty feet. Maybe it was how the Pharisees were treating Jesus. Maybe it was the just overwhelming seeing her Savior, the one who would be dying for her sins. And this was the love that overcame her, that her emotions caused her to weep so much so that she would wash his feet with her tears and dry her feet with his feet with her head. And so as we think about this text tonight, Jesus shows us that there are two people before us. One who is forgiven and loves much. And there is Simon the Pharisee who is not forgiven, and thus he does not love. And so, as we think about ourselves, which one are we? Jesus would say, would call your name, and he would say, I have something to say to you. Are you the one forgiven much? And so you love much? Or do you not love because you are not forgiven? And so most of us here, we're not like the woman. When you guys walked in, you're not scandalously dressed. You don't have a really strong perfume. You know, most of you would not err on the side of being known as one that goes to the bars or is down in Chinatown doing, you know, drugs. You guys are not on the sinful woman side too much from what I can gauge. So that, and that's a good thing. You know, most of you, you know, are very good, moral, I would say. You try and keep to the Ten Commandments, right? So we would see our example in Simon. So often we can become like Simon, where we start to listen to the world, and like the world, what do they do with their debts? What does the world do with their sin? They're going to either ignore it, they're going to explain it away, right? Like Simon, he doesn't have a debt, right? And so a lot of times we will be like the world and we will put on that show. We will never talk about our debts. We will be people who don't explain our debts to our kids, our sins to our kids, and say, I'm a debtor. I'm a sinner. And so what do? We put on a facade. We put on a show. And as we put on this show, we grow cold. We forget about that debt. And we become like Simon, where Jesus, we agree with our Bibles, but we don't really listen to be changed. Because the woman, on the other hand, she was a great sinner. But she had stopped loving herself so much. When she saw who she was as a sinner and her great debt, what did she do? She cried out for mercy and she saw the love of God, which changed her for eternity. And so we need to be careful. Where a lot of times we don't worship Jesus. Because we've put on that show. We've hidden our debts. We don't talk about it. And thus, We don't love Him as we should. We don't serve Him as we should. We're not bold about Him because we've forgotten about how great He is, how great His love is. And so our application for our first one is we need to be debt forgiven, proclaiming. I don't know how else to put it, but where we wouldn't hide our debts, but we would openly proclaim that we could not do it. We needed a Savior, a great Savior, because we were great sinners. And we would stop, and we would then be enraptured with what Jesus does for us every day. Our second application is we need to beware of unbelief, which we also see in Simon. So often we have harsh thoughts about God. Harsh thoughts that would doubt His goodness. Harsh thoughts that would cause us to trust ourselves and not give Him the glory or the love that He deserves. And we would realize that that's unbelief like we see in Simon. Sometimes we won't understand things. Sometimes we go through something hard or something that is unexplainable, but we need to trust Jesus and His Word more than ourselves. Kids, I would ask your attention if I have to wake you up, but kids, do your parents ever ask you to read your Bible? Why do they ask you to read your Bible? What are they asking you to do when they ask you to read your Bible? They're asking you to spend time with Jesus. And the goal of why do they ask that is they want you to stop spending all your time with what you want to do, but you would grow in spending time with Jesus to better follow Him. And Simon, did he agree with Jesus? Did he read his Bible? He would have read his Bible, his Old Testament, every day, right? He was very good at reading his Bible. But he never listened. He never let Jesus change him. He wouldn't listen to Jesus enough and trust Him. And so as your parents ask you and remind you to read your Bible, they're asking you, go to Jesus and spend time with Him. They're asking you not to all the day love yourself, but deny yourself and spend time learning about Jesus. Spend time reading your Bible. And like that woman, did she have to be told to go to Jesus and worship Him like this? No, your parents can't wait for a day when they have to tell you to stop reading your Bible to do your homework. Or maybe tell you, you know what, put your Bible down, your friends are here, you gotta stop that just for a little bit and go play with your friends. I don't think they'll ever say that, but we dream of some time. But what the purpose of that is, like that sinful woman, as she saw her debt forgiven, that led her to worship Jesus, to read her Bible every day, to follow His words, to listen to His words, letting His words change her. And so the last thing we're going to avoid that harsh thoughts because of unbelief. We're going to be ones that are proclaiming that we are debt forgiven because of how great the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be ones who delight in running to God's Word and learning from Jesus. And our last application is this sinful woman. Imagine how she felt. Imagine what caused her to do such great acts of love. This would not be too extraordinary if it was your husband or if it, you know, was maybe a brother or sister. But could you imagine doing this to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, where you would worship Him so much? Your nearness, your faith reveals His love for you, that you are moved to do such almost scandalous things, to wash His feet with your tears, to dry His feet with your hair, even though everyone there would mock you, or everyone there would be so looking down upon you. Look at this faith. Look at her boldness. Look at how she worshiped Jesus because she knew how great He loved her. So much that He was willing to die for her sins. Look at the sacrifice of what she offers with that perfume. Look at the assurance that Jesus gives her when He says to her, "Woman, your sins are forgiven. Go, your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And we see the amazing love she has for her Savior. We would, and our external ways inhibit us sometimes to running to Him in this way. And so we see that the amazing thing is, what does Jesus do? Jesus takes this despised woman, this woman that no one wants to associate, and He lifts her up. He exalts her up. He exalts her before the Pharisees, before all those powerful individuals, those religious, and He declares the miracle of what He has done in that sinful woman. He says, "Look at the glory. Look at the glory of her sins forgiven." And this is where you see the whole dinner party going, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And so we see here that the Holy Spirit for us asks you, are you a Simon? Do you have a coldness? Have you forgotten about your debt? Or maybe you don't worry about your sins. But Jesus has declared and warned you that the wrath of God will meet you when you face judgment if you are not forgiven. But He freely offers that forgiveness. And so we see there are two people in this world. There's the forgiven, who love the Lord Jesus much, and there's the unforgiven, those who hate Him. And as we think about which end of the spectrum are we on, there's no middle ground. And the difference is that faith that allows our debts to be wiped completely clean. Our sins freely forgiven when we could not help ourselves. As much as we strive or labor, we were under that burden of that wrath of God, and Jesus Christ has freely forgiven all of our sins. And may we be declaring our debts forgiven by Him to the world, no longer putting on that show, but realizing that we have a Savior who loves to save sinners. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word that reveals the glory of Christ. And Lord, I pray that we would not glory in ourselves, but we would glory in You as the Savior who loves to save. Thank You for this time, Lord. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.